Hey everyone, welcome to Admit One with G Money. Today we have the co-founder of Rolling Loud. In 2010, after noticing a discrepancy in hip-hop representation in Florida, he and his partner set out to start Dope Entertainment and helped to set the stage for many up-and-coming hip-hop talent. In 2015, they founded Rolling Loud, starting as a one-night concert, which has become the world's largest hip-hop festival. He's now here to talk through the next phase of Rolling Loud and how their Loud Punks NFTs will be the blueprint for all other festival passes. Please welcome Tariq Sharif.
Tariq Sharif, what's up? It's all good. People said it wrong my whole life. I try not to be too harsh about it. It's all good. What's up, everybody? What's up, G Money?
How are you? Thank you for taking the time. I know we're going to be putting this out later on this week, but today is actually like a pretty insane day in crypto. I'm not sure if you've been following along, but this, like, over the last week, for those that have been following along at home, like for the last week or so, there's been speculation of whether FTX was undercapitalized and whatnot. And, you know, CZ from Binance and Sam Bankman-Fried were kind of going at it back and forth on Twitter. And then about a few hours ago, Binance entered into a non-binding letter of intent to buy FTX, which has been like pretty crazy in and of itself. But then like Suzu from Three Arrows Capital came back to Twitter. Do Kwon was just on like Up Only. Like, so it's like, it's kind of like pretty insane. So like, I was a couple minutes late to this podcast just because I feel like I was just catching up on all this craziness. But like, just like trying to figure out what the ramifications are for it, right? For the industry as a whole. But dude, thank you for coming on.
We'll see. I still got beef with FTX because they bought Blockfolio. And I used to track all my crypto holdings on Blockfolio. And then it became FTX and it still had all my stuff on there. Because I don't like to have my crypto, like I don't want to be able to access it on my phone because I don't want to get like hacked or whatever. Yeah. So I would use Blockfolio to track my holdings. And then it switched to FTX, but it still had all my stuff saved on there. Next thing I know, like a couple months ago, boom, everything I had up like saved on there, it's gone. So I had to like redo it. Annoying. So I got beef with FTX.
Well, I mean, that now it seems like you came out on the better end of that deal, considering it seems like it's a buy under. This reminds me a lot of like when JP Morgan bought out Bear Stearns, where like, you know, I think like customer deposits might be safe, but like equity down to zero pretty much. So interesting. Like it's like craziness, the ramifications.
Yeah. I'm more of a Coinbase guy, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's new. I don't know if that's the wrong thing to say, but I'm out here.
I use Coinbase too. I rarely use FTX. I think I have some money on there, but not much. But it's just, I think it just kind of like just really, I'm just like watching from the peanut gallery and like, you know, putting some hot takes and maybe reposting some memes here and there. But ultimately, I don't really have a dog in this fight other than like I want to see just crypto proliferate long term. But it's like really interesting kind of to watch like.
Absolutely.
Like the DeFi side of things, because this is obviously happening on the DeFi side. And then like the NFT side, like NFT Twitter is kind of almost like, oh, I don't really know what's going on over here. So it's like, it's pretty crazy to see that dichotomy happening in real time.
I always thought that was interesting, the separation of like NFT Twitter and crypto Twitter. I've always found that interesting.
Well, I think it's going to be bound to happen, right? Because just like for the same reason that like, let's say like Hollywood magazines don't always necessarily intersect with like the Wall Street Journal, right? And it's like those are like very different conversations that are happening at the same time. But although there are like, you know, points of interest where they both intersect, but for the most part, like they're going to be focused on like just different topics. So it's really interesting, I think, to see it in real time on Twitter, because the industry is still so nascent and young that over the course of time, like, I think like they'll each have their own voices and their own channels, let's say. But like for now, it's like all lumped into one thing, right? Where it's all crypto. Let's talk a little bit about, like, I guess the beginning of your career before we start talking about how you got into NFTs. But, you know, how did you end up getting into like the festival, into the concert business? Like how was that? How'd you get started in that?
That's a great question. So back in 2009, 2010, I was a college student at Florida State University, and I was obsessed with music, specifically rap music, but I like all types of music, but I was very obsessed with like the hip hop industry as a whole. I interned at a recording studio in 2009, and I thought maybe I wanted to be an artist, and I tried recording and I made a bunch of songs, and I tried producing and made a bunch of beats and stuff. And I quickly realized I'm not that type of creative. Soon after that, I started noticing that a lot of the parties in college, like at the clubs, when they'd have like these EDM DJs come DJ, I noticed that it was college kids my age were booking the DJs, paying the DJs, and then paying the club and selling the tickets. And I'm like, oh, that seems like simple science. And that's something I could do with my favorite rappers that are not getting booked in Florida, which at the time was people like Currency, Wiz Khalifa, Mac Miller, J. Cole, Wale, Big Sean, Kid Cudi, like the 2009 XXL freshman class, basically, you know, the Kendrick Lamars, et cetera, the new wave of rap back then. Nobody was booking them in Florida. So basically my partner, Matt Zingler, and I, we got to work. We took the little money that we had and we started booking shows, and we started doing it all over the state of Florida and in our college towns of Tallahassee and Gainesville, but also in Orlando, Tampa, and our biggest market, Miami. And the main reason was, you know, I just wanted to get into the music industry, and I didn't see a route in with college. I didn't have the right prereqs to get into like music business school, or the pathway to do the school route for music industry for me seemed very uphill. And not even just uphill, just confusing. I didn't even know how to go about it. So I figured if I start booking all these rappers, after X amount of time, I'll be in business with enough of them, or have done business with enough of them, that maybe I could transition to something else. There was no goal to start a festival when we started booking concerts. That was more of like a natural unfoldment, where we started doing shows more consistently. They went from being like every other month to we started having shows every month. And then by summer 2014, we really had like scaled out of the room sizes that we were booking. We were booking concerts from anywhere from 50 to 100 people up to like 2,000 people, and filling up whatever room it was for. And quickly, we tried to get up to the next size venue, which is like arenas, but those were owned by companies like Live Nation or AEG Live or some of these big concert promoters. So we were kind of like blocked from using these venues. And again, with the EDM thing, we noticed, you know, we have Ultra Music Festival in Miami. There's EDC all over the world, Electric Daisy Carnival, which is another EDM festival. And we were like, oh, we could do that for hip hop. So essentially we found a warehouse, and in February 2015, we did the first Rolling Loud, 6,000 something fans, one day show. And a lot of things went wrong on that first show. The venue like flooded from torrential downpours of rain, but the show went on and fans had a great time. And from there, we took the same strategy we had with our regular concert promoting business, which was, let's just make it the next show better than the last. Let's do our best on each show. Let's make it as big and as well run as possible, and then assess it afterwards and try again the next time. So every year we've done that with Rolling Loud. We're on our eighth year or something like that. The COVID year threw me off, so I can't really count that one, but we're here in 2022 now, and looking forward to a great 2023.
Cool. I mean, that's awesome. Congrats on that natural progression. You know, it's, I think it's always like commendable, like when, you know, when somebody's very entrepreneurial, right? And it's like kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to keep on doing this. And then you find like other avenues like, oh, well, that's like, I didn't expect that. And, you know, I think that's kind of like
yeah.
one of the number one things of being an entrepreneur, right? Of like just going with the flow of like having a vision of where you think the business is going to go, but then ultimately, you know, being able to kind of adapt as the conditions change, right? And I think that that probably
absolutely that's clutch.
Yeah. And I think that probably leads into, I think, you know, what ends up happening in COVID, right? So COVID hits, you know, obviously your business comes to a standstill because it's live events. What happens then, like as an entrepreneur, as you're thinking about things and, you know, how do you end up finding like NFTs and crypto from there?
So actually got into crypto prior to COVID. So I'll just give a little backstory there and then I'll hop into how I became aware of NFTs. So with crypto, I was actually told about crypto around the same time that we started throwing concerts. But the way the person told me about it, I totally discounted it and didn't pay it any attention. Basically, somebody was like, hey, there's this new thing called Bitcoin. And it was like a dollar for a Bitcoin. It was like dollar to Bitcoin was equal. And he was like, yeah, you get this stuff called Bitcoin, and then you can go on this website called the Silk Road and buy drugs. And I'm like, well, I have no interest in buying drugs online. So I don't care about what you're telling me right now. In hindsight, I wish I bought a bunch of Bitcoin that day and just held it. No, it wasn't framed to me as like decentralized currency, et cetera, et cetera. Like no, it wasn't told about Satoshi, like none of that. I was just told one use case. I ignored it, which is like a metaphor or like a lesson for life. Like dig in a little deeper when somebody tells you about something new, there could be other use cases. But then fast forward to like 2017 or 2018, my good friend, Aditya told me, like, he was like, yo, you should like look at this Bitcoin stuff and Ethereum. And he was telling me about some different coins. And I was like, hey man, I respect your investment advice. Like he's very financially savvy. So I started buying Bitcoin. And then when it hit so now fast forward to 2020, we had that low of Bitcoin in March of 2020. I guess I bought some more Bitcoin then. I wish I bought a lot more when it was like 4,000 a Bitcoin, but I bought some Bitcoin then. And I've been holding ever since. And in that same year, you know, we couldn't do concerts. We did a bunch of virtual shows. Shout out to Twitch. They threw us a nice bag of money that basically kept us afloat to be able to book artists to do private virtual shows with no fans in real life, but you know, the Twitch audience and whatever. And started seeing a bunch of NFT talk and a bunch of like projects popping off. Obviously CryptoPunks had already launched, but you know, the Bored Apes and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to name drop a million projects, but I started seeing projects pop off. And I'm not going to lie, like I did want to like run in and like save the company, quote unquote, and like drop an amazing NFT project and really like hit the gold rush. And we worked on a bunch of ideas. We were going to like copy NBA Top Shot and release like packs of moments from Rolling Loud history and like gamify it in some way and make them limited and stuff. And we worked on that project for a while. But then I started realizing that it was bigger than that and it was less short term than that. So we slowed down. We really did a lot more research and just tinkering with and brainstorming with the ideas of what can Rolling Loud do with NFTs. And that coincided with something I'd already been working on, which was how do we create a loyalty program of sorts for our most core fans? Because we start seeing tweets and Instagram posts and comments and whatever of a lot of people being like, hey, I'm about to go to my 10th Rolling Loud, or I went to 3 Rolling Louds last year, or like during COVID, like, oh man, I went from going to 3 Rolling Louds in 2019 to not a single show in 2020. So we realized same thing we realized when we were booking shows, we start seeing the same people at shows start seeing this, these same type of comments. Like, okay, we have like this core fan base that we need to figure out how do we reward them for being so loyal and for being such great members of our community. And that word community is really the important one. And I think the word community is the most important word. One of the most, other than utility, one of the most important words in the NFT space is, you know, the NFT space, all these projects are all about community. So I think it's really, I think it was a really cool way for us to enter the space and figure out how, under the guidance of the idea of let's unite our most core community. And there are Web2 solutions, of course. You know, you could sell a lifetime festival pass with Web2, but it's not as frictionless. You know, I really like the frictionless nature of Web3. The idea that, you know, on Web2, if you buy a lifetime pass and then you want to sell it, there's a good chance that if you're a buyer of somebody selling their lifetime pass, they might be scamming you on StubHub. I mean, we've got people that come to our will call at all of our festivals that got scammed on StubHub. They bought a ticket on StubHub and then somebody told them, or the person told them, go pick up the ticket at will call. And sure enough, we don't have a ticket for them because it was a scam. So the Web3 solution of the frictionless nature, being able to buy a lifetime pass, use it for X amount of time, and then be able to sell it when you need the money, or you grow out of going to hip hop festivals or whatever it is. That really drew us in and solidified our intention in the space.
Right. That, I mean, that's super cool and interesting. That to me, that almost, I mean, would a good comparison kind of be similar to the PSL licenses that some teams have for their season ticket holders?
Over my head. I don't know what a PSL license is. All right.
Yeah, no.
I will never lie and say I understand what you're talking about when I don't.
Right. No. Well, it's kind of like, I think it happens a lot in football, and I think other sports do it, where you buy this. I think it's one time you buy the right to buy those tickets every season, right? So you get those season tickets at face value, right? Because you own like the license. And then you can resell them as you see fit, right? And then if and when you decide that you're done with the PSL, you know, that I don't know exactly. I'm not sure if you can transfer them, but I think there's almost like this gray market that at least used to exist in the past, where if like I'm like, to your point, is like maybe I outgrow going to like sports games, I then like kind of like will find somebody that's willing to pay me. And like, I don't know if it's now like above the table where it's like, I can transfer that to you. But like before, it would be like, yeah, like it gets sent to me and then you pay me. Like, it's like, to your point, it's like, it's not as special, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's almost like sketchy, you know, you got to really know the person if yeah. you're going to do a transfer like that.
Right. Like it can't be trusted.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really interesting. And like, I mean, Ed, when you were first thinking about it, were you like, okay, like this is like, is your goal to kind of get ticketing as NFTs? So like the tickets become NFTs themselves, or is it more like token gating where as long as you have, let's say the token that you get access to certain things, as long as, you know, and you have your provable verification for it?
I think we first step, we do want to prove the use case of NFTs as tickets. I think long term, I do like that because there's a collectible nature, and you know, it's hard to keep like a ticket stub. You know, people don't keep things like they used to, but digitally they do. You know, we got our iPhones full of memories of photos. You know, so I think like the collection element of an NFT ticket is important and very valuable. And I think that's that's what we're trying to prove, right? Is a use case. We got 10,000 lifetime festival passes. And that's proving that like at scale we can do this, right? However, what was the exact question? I'm kind of butchering the response. What was the exact question again?
Oh no, if it's almost like, so let's say I own a Loud Punks, right? And that will all of them be, and I know I will get into the details of the actual collection itself in a minute, but like let's say I have one that's a lifetime access pass. Will that one like produce a ticket for that will be its own NFT that I show at the event, or do I just like scan that and like can get into the event? Like, will it be like,
no,
like,
so we won't send you a ticket. No, holding the NFT in your wallet is your ticket. We'll verify that at the entrance, and you'll be given a wristband for the weekend. And that's that, you know, we're really, and that's the reason for that is, again, community. You know, we don't want, cause like all Loud Punks holders, not only do they get lifetime admission into any Rolling Loud festival across the world for life, but they also get access to our Loud Punks Lounge, and which is a community building center, basically, right? It's somewhere at the festival that you can meet up with people from the Discord or other holders of other Loud Punks holders. And, you know, our Discord is popping right now. People are making friendships and all types of relationships within our Discord. So we're giving them a place to meet in real life. And the last thing we want is people that aren't actual holders that just somebody let them hold their NFT for the weekend or not even that, but if we did a thing where we send out the wristbands 2 weeks prior, and then there's like a black market of people selling these wristbands, and then the people showing up are not actual Loud Punks holders, it kind of messes up that community element. The most important thing here is that community element. We want that place for our core fans and the Web3 community to be able to interact and intersect and build together in real life.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really vibe with that too, because that's like a lot of like my mission and what I'm trying to do with my community, right? Is like try to get people opportunities for them to connect in real life. And like they already have like this common thread of things that they like, right? So it's like I really commend you for seeing it and like kind of like creating this space at your events for these people to get together, right? Because like, to your point, like not everybody that attends the festival is going to necessarily care about Web3 or care about crypto, but like how cool would it be if like there was this location where it's like, hey, you like hip hop, you like NFTs, like come hang out with your tribe over here, right?
Exactly. We're trying to foster that bridge building. You know, we are essentially onboarding new people into Web3 from our core fan base, people that are just purely interested in a lifetime festival pass. But guess what? The only way you can get it is got to create a wallet. You got to get some Ethereum. And, you know, so already, boom, we're onboarding people into Web3. But we also want to onboard people into our culture and just have that intersect. And who knows what's going to come out of that? Who knows what other projects will come out of that? Not necessarily Rolling Loud project, but people just connecting in real life at the show. Who knows what technology will come from that? I just feel like when you intersect music and tech, beautiful things can happen.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree with. I think it's really cool. Like what has been, I guess, the reception from your core community that's not Web3 to this announcement of Loud Punks?
It's been great, you know. And we've been careful to not like slam it down their throats, because you know the perception of like, especially in a bear market, right? Like NFTs, when NFTs first came out, anybody that didn't know about NFTs or didn't know anything about Web3, they were just like, why would I buy that picture? I could just save it. I could just screenshot it. And, you know, they're not accounting for the authentication, authenticity, et cetera, the rarity, et cetera, et cetera. So we didn't want to like, for that reason. And then also now that it's like a bear market and like the new headline for non-Web3 natives was like, oh, NFTs fell off, right? Like NFTs are a scam or whatever. Like, you know, people that are looking from the outside. So we didn't want to slam it down their throats too hard. But the adoption's been great. You know, like I said, the Discord's popping, the Loud Punks NFT Twitter is popping. We've definitely got a bunch of, like, when I go in the Discord, it's people talking about exactly what I spoke about before. Like, it's about to be my fifth Rolling Loud, about to be my 10th Rolling Loud. Like, I'm taking pictures with soon to be Loud Punks holders at our most recent show in New York, in front of our Loud Punks inflatables. Because I do want to clarify that Loud Punks isn't something we just made up to, like, oh, we need some type of character to for our NFT project. Like, nah, Loud Punks has been a character that my partner Matt Zingler came up with years ago and has been at all of our festivals since. We have these massive inflatables, like 50 feet tall, that bring Loud Punks to life. We've had Loud Punk stages. So yeah, the reception's been great. Our most core fans are super excited, and we haven't even, like, posted the price yet. So when we, and that's going to be like the hook, line, and sinker. So a word of caution to the Web3 people looking to mint, definitely get in there quick, because as soon as we announce the official mint price and we explain that in a dollars fashion to our fans, they're going to be like, holy shit, I can get a lifetime festival pass for the price of a few tickets. That's crazy. So yeah, it's still growing, and it's going to be incredible.
Right. And so, I'll get into that in a second, but what, and you mentioned it too, is like the bear market. Like, how are you concerned about the bear market in the NFT space, or do you find that not concerning really at all?
This might be very Warren Buffett for me to say, but I love a bear market. A bear market is where opportunities are made. A bull market is you're too late at that point in a lot of senses. I think a bear market is where the cream floats to the top, where innovation happens, where real, in this case, in my opinion about our project, where real utility is a factor. So no, I'm not worried, and I actually like it. Like, I think the perception of dropping, if we dropped this during a bull market, A, we weren't ready, but B, like, it would be perceived as a cash grab. And this is far from a cash grab. This is every, I'm very intentional. Like, this is a community building initiative for our most core fans and for the Web3 community to come together, and let's see what comes from it. I really think it's gonna spark. It's like what Tupac said, like, I might not change the world, but I guarantee you I spark the mind that does. So, like, I don't know what's gonna come, and that might be corny, but I believe it.
Right. No, that's a really cool quote. I like that. I might steal that and use that in the future. But let's get a little
Quote
bit.
Tupac, not me.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I'll definitely look that up. That Let's talk about Loud Punks, so the collection for a little bit. The have you What details have you released? What details can you share so far on the project?
So we've been pretty transparent. Initially we did say in our Discord that it's going to be 10,000. We have seen, as of lately, some commentary in our Discord and some chatter around these new projects that just dropped that have like 5 or 3,000 collection sizes. I don't have a final answer for the collection size right now, but it'll be it. If it's 5,000, we might make them all VIP. And if it's 10,000, leave them as GA. I'm not sure. As far as the price, like, I'm doing my best to keep it at one ETH. I think one ETH is the price for us. It's like in dollars, that's $1,500 or wherever we're at right now. That's basically three festival tickets, and it's for life. So you could go to way more than three festivals, or you could flip it, however. But the core, the definite 100% top line headlines are lifetime festival access to any Rolling Loud for life. Of course, and this is inherent in Web3, but if there's any Rolling Loud Web2 fans listening to this, you don't have to hold it for life. Should you be done with it, you can, in a frictionless fashion, list it for sale and sell it. And we're going to be throwing exclusive events for Loud Punks holders throughout the year, throughout the world. And there's a bunch of trait-based utility that we have as well. It's certain rare traits will unlock elevated experiences at the festival, such as we have what's called the Loud Club, which is like our VVIP bottle service area with the perfect best view of the main stage where all the celebrities and athletes and artists go buy tables, and it's like $20,000 a table per night. Some of the holders are going to be blessed with a free table. That's just
Oh, that's really cool.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I'm excited for that. And just the worldwide nature of it, I think, is going to be great too. Our festival is not just in Miami, but we are also in Los Angeles. We are in New York. We're in Toronto. We are in Portugal. We're in the Netherlands. We're in one more European country that we'll be announcing soon for 2023. We did Australia in 2019. We'll be returning to Australia in 2024. And then we're in Thailand coming up in April. So, and we have more markets we're working on. We're really keen on our worldwide expansion, and which is great for the Web3 space because Web3 is not just an American thing. It's all over the world, and to give people all over the world the opportunity to come together and meet each other, we think is super cool.
Right. And I think that's like really interesting
And
because
it's a dope PFP project, my bad. It's a dope, like, not like aside from the utility, the artwork is fucking sick. Just
right.
gotta throw that out
All
there.
right, cool. I mean that sounds great, but I think the really interesting part too is like, and I just realized this is like there's so many EDM festivals that are like international and like all over the place, but there aren't very many hip hop festivals that I can think of off, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can think of like an EDM festival in like every country, right? That it's like, yeah, like, of course, like, there's
Right.
always like massive festivals, but there's no like hip hop festivals really, right? Or that are big, that are like very well known, I guess.
Well, no, you're 100% correct. I mean, and to just educate the audience a little bit, the history of hip hop festivals is short. There used to be a festival called Rock the Bells, and that was a legendary festival, but it was very much catered to a specific era of rap, which kind of passed by. It was for like the Wu-Tang Clans and the Eric B and Rakim and like that type of thing, right? When we started Rolling Loud, Rock the Bells had been defunct for some time, and the lane was wide open for a new hip hop festival. And as the sound changed in hip hop, we capitalized on that, as we had been doing with our concerts. Nobody was booking the rappers we like because there wasn't a scene for it yet. We built that scene together with the artists, and then when we chose to grow nationwide, to your point, again, we looked at these EDM festivals. Ultra and EDC are all over the world. Why be like Coachella and just stay in Miami every year? It's like, nah, we can travel. Let's put this thing on the road.
Right.
People like hip hop everywhere. So there is no other, to my, and I, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments or whatever, but I'm pretty sure there's no other traveling hip hop festival internationally.
Right. Yeah. And so like I guess what I mean, I assume like the artists themselves are huge fans, right? Because you're helping them get more exposure, helping get more international fans out there. Like what have they had a response to the NFT aspect of what you're doing yet?
A little bit, yeah. Artists like Ski Mask the Slump God, DJ Scheme, they're super excited about it. And then a lot of artists did, like, I can't fault them for it because during the bull market of NFTs, a lot of artists got like some big offers to just like, hey, post about this NFT and we'll give you all this money and a free NFT. And they did it. And then there were a lot of rugs, a lot of fans were buying NFTs that went to shit. So I think artists are a bit scared of NFTs now. But this use case, we're going to be, or you'll be seeing some collabs coming with artists soon where, they'll be promoting our project and, they'll be, sport, championing our NFTs. And I think that's super.
Yeah, no, I think that's really dope. One thing I want to get into in a right here is, you know, like, I don't know. I know Coachella announced some sort of NFT project. I don't know if they've actually done the drop. Do you know exactly what they've done and how your project differs from theirs?
I know there was like a lot less, and I'm not sure if they did a lifetime pass or if it was like X amount of shows. But I know it was way fewer in quantity. Mm. It wasn't as much of like a community building thing as much. It was like, honestly, I think they got paid like a bag by Solana or like something like that. And it was like, hey, we're going to release 10 lifetime Coachella passes. And the price is like outlandishly expensive. Not to right. hate. Shout out Coachella. Yeah, they're a legend. Coachella is a legendary festival that has paved the way for many festivals, including ours, to come after it. But I just don't think it's really the greatest use case of a concert admission NFT.
Right. Right. No, that I
like ours.
Yeah. No, I get it. That makes sense.
I guess ours is more like for the people, you know, like you could get it. I know we haven't announced the exact price, but you know, you could get it for one ETH, 1.5 ETH. And sure, maybe the value will go up like crazy. And I think it will. But the fact that it's available for that initial offering at scale that you could actually get one is pretty cool.
Right. That's I think that is pretty cool. One question that just comes to the top of my mind, just thinking out loud about this, I'm not sure if you've thought about it or not, is like, let's say I have a Loudpunks and, you know, I can't go to the show in Portugal, but there's somebody that would go, and like, can I can't technically sell them like entry into that festival without transferring the NFT to them, right? Like, how would you stop scalping, I guess, right? Where it's like, okay, like if this thing is worth, you know, $500 per festival and I can sell, you know, entry into each festival and there's 10 of them, then technically it's worth $5,000 per year, right? But like, unless I'm actually physically there, there's no way for me to kind of capitalize on that entry.
Absolutely. So first of all, I would say that maybe in the future we'll consider using some of like these NFT rental solutions. Mm-hmm. But for now, you have to be a holder of the NFT to be able to enter the concert. And it has to be, and forgive me if I say this wrong, but like let's say you do, in your use case scenario, you want to transfer your NFT to somebody to be able to go to the Portugal show, you would have to do so like on, I don't know if the right word is like on chain or like in a way that there's the royalty is taken from it. And so right. if you just like off chain, give somebody your NFT, and I think I'm butchering the words here. Right. So forgive me, Web3 purists. But if you try to just transfer somebody, or not try, but if you do transfer somebody your NFT in a way that is not subject to the royalty, then that NFT is basically suspended until it is brought back into the ecosystem of royalties. At that point, you could use it again. So if you sold it to somebody and it had a royalty, if you sold it to the person in Portugal with the royalty, all good, no problem. You transfer it to them without a royalty, that NFT won't be valid. Right. So that's our current way. That's our current solution to stop scalping. Some people will love that. Some people won't like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's really interesting because it's funny. And I think it's timely because here we are right now where all the marketplaces are zeroing out creator fees and people are like, what are we going to do? And like kind of my response is very similar to yours, right? Where it's like, well, you know, if you want to, you know, transfer an asset or trade an asset without paying royalties, that's fine. It's your asset. There's nothing I can tell you to do or not do. But what I can do is just, you know, not give you access to the cool benefits of being part of the community, right? And that's, and I think you understand that and are taking that stance because I think it's almost like, what is better, to lead with a carrot or lead with a stick, right? And it's like, you know, it's like, all right, cool. Like, if you want to trade this and not pay creator royalties, that's totally fine. But like, you're not going to get access to stuff, which is like the whole point of like being part of that community, right? And so like, I think that's a really smart approach.
I appreciate that. And yeah, that's our exact sentiment. And some people have like an issue with royalties. They think it's like not fair, but just to like, from a purely business perspective, we would never put out 10,000 lifetime festival passes that could be traded in perpetuity. And eventually we just have 10,000 people essentially showing up for free at every show. The way that the project stays alive and can exist in perpetuity is by that royalty being a factor, so that 10 years from now, when people are trading Loud Punks, we're still allowing them entry and forever, right? Because there is a mechanism to compensate the festival for that. And it's just a small royalty, but you know, that'll keep us going.
Yeah. I also think the idea, because I've thought about this a lot too, where it's like, you can buy back in to the system, right? So that if you end up buying something that's, let's say you get it at a discount, right? Because it doesn't have any like utility or functionality because there's no access. It's like, oh shit. Like, oh, hey, cool. Like I can go over here. I can submit the payment. And then that allows, you know, this NFT to now be back part of the ecosystem. I think having that way for people to opt back in, if they, you know, want to do it or end up buying something like, oh shit, like I can buy back in. I think that is like the key, right? To kind of being like, yeah, you can trade these things if you just like the art. And for sure, like, you know, you won't pay, if you don't want to pay royalties, you don't have to pay royalties, right? Like it's your right. product. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do with it, but you're just not going to get access to the really cool shit, right? And like, I think like giving somebody lifetime access to all of your concerts is pretty fucking cool utility, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly our sentiment.
Cool. Well, you know, when is the actual mint of Loud Punks going to be?
So it's looking like we were going to do November 9th, but we have some things we're announcing for our concerts right now. So we're thinking November 15th is better. But the best way to stay up to date is to, first of all, you better be following Rolling Loud if you're not following Rolling Loud already. If you're not following Rolling Loud, do that. And aside from Rolling Loud, we have Loud Punks NFT on Twitter. That's LoudPunx. NFT on Twitter, and then just Loud Punks, LoudPunx on Instagram. Follow both those accounts and join the Discord. Those are the greatest ways to stay informed and to join the community. I can't stress enough, this is about community. But it's looking like a November 15th mint. If not, shortly after that, we just have to make sure all our ducks are in order. And of course, we have other things happening within our festival that are constantly changing with dates that we announce shows and lineups and stuff. And that's all very much up to the artist. So for anybody that's wondering, like, why don't you have like a concrete date? There's a lot of balls we're juggling here we just got a great artist confirmation for Rolling Loud LA for next year. Very excited about that. So that lineup should be coming pretty soon. So yeah, just stay tuned. Looking like November 15th. If we need to delay it farther than that, we'll let you guys know. But it's very, very soon, and we're very excited for it. And it'll definitely be in time for you guys to buy this NFT before Rolling Loud LA 2023, which is March 3rd through 5th. That's our first festival back, because we finished our festivals for this year. So we got a nice break until March. So you'll definitely be able to mint before March. I can guarantee you that.
Cool. And that's where March will be the first festival where Loud Punks will have like utility and the, what was it called? The Loud Punks Lounge?
Yes, Loud Punks Lounge. Who knows if it'll be sponsored by a Web3 native company or if it'll be a standalone thing, but we've already invested the money and started designing the space. It's super cool. It's very like, It's very almost like NFT NYC, or like, you know, it's like screens and NFTs on display and a bar and lounge and couches and just a good vibe. You know, it's like artsy meets tech meets hip hop culture is going to be the vibe of the lounge. And yeah, that the first use case is March 3rd through 5th, Rolling Loud LA 2023. Got big artists headlining. Very excited for that. As well as our usual thing, which is a brick house of stacked of a bunch of very, very credible artists with a roof of some amazing legendary headliners. So, just very excited for that. If you're at all interested in coming to the festival, if you've been to them already a bunch of times, or if you've never been, but you're a Web3 native that sees the use case utility here. I'm like not very great with words, but come check us out.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to attending one of your festivals at some point next year myself. And you know, 'cause we've only met via video conference, so it'd be nice to meet in person as well. But
And that is the thing in the Web3 space is that a lot of us have only met. And I thank you for saying what you just said. A lot of us have only met like this, or maybe just like this, right? So to give us all that opportunity to come together, you know, we encourage members of all types of communities, if you have any interest in live music or any interest in coming together in real life with holders from other communities and Loudpunks holders, this is a place for you. And any communities that want to get down with Loudpunks and with Rolling Loud, just reach out. You know, we're a very crypto friendly company. We're open to all ideas. We're a very Web3 friendly company. And whatever, if any community has an idea with how to integrate with ours, we're all ears. You know, we see this as the future.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time though. I don't know if the connection's on my side or your side, but I appreciate you taking the time. I'm looking forward to everything that you're working on. I think this is really fucking cool. I think the utility is dope as fuck, and I'm looking forward to what you guys bring to the space. And like, I think the cool thing is like the culture, right? Because I think by bringing this culture to NFTs and this festival culture is like, you know, kind of showing the world what else can happen with the NFTs besides just JPEGs.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Thank you for pointing that out. That's the goal here.
So awesome. Yeah, thanks for coming on, and you know, I wish you the best of luck on your mint, and you know, we'll chat soon. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to Admit One.
G Money. Admit one with G Money, baby. If you want to see his face, you can't. Ah.
See you guys later.